Amen. You can skip that scripture. Amen. The Lord has given me the title on today. Amen. The miry clay. Thank you, Lord. The miry clay. Amen. If you've been around church long enough, there's a phrase that you've heard, you'll hear somebody say that the Lord pulled them out of the miry clay. But I have a question as I go into this word, and well, several questions, actually. Amen. How many of you read your Bible consistently? How many of you read it occasionally? How many of you don't read it at all? And the reason that I understand, I'm asking these questions, and God is asking these questions today, is because when we hear terms like the miry clay, or we hear more than conquerors, or we hear I can do all things, or we hear all of the church cliches or the church stories or names, do you really understand the context? Do you really understand what the miry clay was? Right? Do you understand time? Do you understand situations? Do you understand patterns? And I ask you, do you read your Bible? Because this is how you begin to learn who God is. This is how you begin to understand the character of God. This is how you begin to understand how God moves, how God works, how he disciplines, how he tests, how he shapes, how he molds, right? You have to read your word to understand all of that stuff. And I go back to what I'm talking about, understanding context. There are things that have happened to you in your life, and in the moment you understood them one way. But as time went by, as the context changed, you understood it differently. Y'all understand what I'm saying? How you understand time. Right now, you think one way because you in your 20s, you in your 30s. But when you get in your 50s or your 60s, time has a way of switching how you think about life and you think about things. When you begin to look back over your life and you begin to look back over situations, you'll start to see patterns. You'll start to see, well, what grandmama went through is what mama went through is what I went through. Is my daughter going to go through that? Right? By reading your Bible, you learn how to see all of those things. You understand how to understand context right then and now so that you don't have to wait 20 years later to understand the lesson. From reading your Bible, God will reveal, like when we went through Revelation, he will pull the curtain back and allow you to understand what it really means. And I'm saying that because I really want y'all to understand what the miry clay really is. Jeremiah's ministry lasted for over 40 years in Jerusalem alone. We can read the book in a matter of months, but we read in over 40 years of preaching, over 40 years of suffering, over 40 years of prophesying, spanning four different kings. This man continued to minister. And so I need y'all to understand that as long as you live, you are going to go through something. You are going to go through something. How many of y'all today in 2025 realize that you lived through a pandemic? Right? How many of y'all remember the word COVID? Like, just in that short amount of time, you forget, like, man, I lived through a pandemic. My great-grandmother, born in 1912, lived through World War I, World War II, Vietnam, the Great Depression, all of the things we learned about in history. This lady lived through it. And we're going to look back over our life and we're going to see that everything that God brought us through. COVID killed over 1 million people in the United States alone. And you still here. You lived through that. Why does this matter? Because this matters because the one thing with all of those things, with time, with situations, with patterns, with context, the one thing that remains the same from my great-grandmother to my grandmother to me now is the word of God. He is the constant. Jeremiah's message over those 40 years, it was consistent. When I read my Bible, I see everyday behaviors of people. I see that when I read my Bible, the same thing that people were doing then is the same thing that I see now. The one thing that's consistent is God. The word of God has not lost its power. It has only lost its importance to us. It's the same word. It's just us, how we look at it, how we view his word, how we receive it, how we accept it, how we obey it. That's the only thing that changed. It ain't no worse then than it was now. The word of God has just lost its importance to people. Amen. But if you can hold on to that word, then you got something that will never fade on you. It will never crumble on you. It will be steady and it will be sure. I'm going to be in Jeremiah 38 today, because I want y'all to understand the miry clay. And I'm going to be paraphrasing because I'm going to kind of be throughout this whole chapter. But in the first couple of verses, because I can't pronounce all of these names, but in the first couple of verses, there were these four men. And they had been listening to what Jeremiah had been saying, what Jeremiah had been telling the people. And in the second verse, it says, this is what the Lord says. This is Jeremiah's message. This is his consistent message for over 40 years. He says, everyone who stays in Jerusalem will die from war, famine, or disease. But those who surrender to the Babylonians will live. Their reward will be life. They will live. Now, that might seem crazy. Why would I surrender to the Babylonians? But I need y'all to understand that God was using the Babylonians. So to surrender to the Babylonians is to surrender to God. God is trying to get all of us. The message has been consistent. Surrender to me. And whatever trials, whatever you face, whatever tests you face, whether it's COVID, whether it's World War I, whether it's World War II, whether it's the Great Depression, whether 2008 recession, whatever it is, whatever is coming in 2025, surrender to God and you'll live through whatever the world takes you through. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Babylonia is the world. He wasn't saying surrender to the enemy. He said surrender to me, surrender to my will, surrender to the things that I'm allowing to happen to shape you, to make you into the people that I want you to be. He says, if you surrender, your reward will be life. They will live. The Lord also says the city of Jerusalem will certainly be handed over to the army of the king of Babylon, who will capture it. Now, the thing about this is the city represented everything that they thought God slash church was about. If we look at a lot of churches are being handed over to the world. They look just like the world. God is saying, don't surrender to the church. Don't do it because of the church. Surrender to me. Let me show you what real religion is about. What real faith is about. Surrender to me, because Jerusalem will be handed over to the world. So these officials, they were tired of the message. They went to the king and said, sir, this man must die. This kind of talk will undermine the morale of the few fighting men we have left, as well as that of all the people. This man is a traitor. They said Jeremiah's message is killing the morale. When you talk about sin, when you start to get into people's stuff and you start to say, like, that thing that you got going on, that thing ain't going to change until you surrender. It undermines people's morale. They're thinking like, man, I'm fighting hard. And this man, every time I step into the church, he killing my morale. I'm out here trying to make it happen. That's the point. You trying to make it happen instead of God, trusting God to make it happen. They said that Jeremiah's messages were killing the morale. Your morale is nothing but your emotions. Your morale is the overall emotional, mental, and spiritual state of a person, especially in relation to their confidence, to their enthusiasm, and their willingness to persevere in the face of challenges. In some challenges, you're fighting hard against, and you're telling yourself, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Do you even know if you're on the right battlefield? You might be fighting a war that was never intended for you. Sometimes we make up our own struggles and we start giving ourselves pep talk that we're going to come out. You're not going to come out of that thing because you won't surrender. God didn't even intend that fight for you. Understand that's what they were doing. God was saying, y'all are going to lose to the Babylonians, but they wanted to continue to fight. And God is saying, y'all are going to lose because I have to break you of this thing. I have to break you of this idolatry. I got to break you of thinking that you are all right, that you belong to me when your heart is far from me. I have to break you of that thing. So you continuing to fight is not doing you any good. Wave the white flag and surrender. I don't know how many ways I can say this to you. This is the same message when God said, fold. Y'all remember that? Lord, I fold. And it's the same message because I'm in the same book. And the message is consistent throughout the book. Surrender. In simple terms, morale is about how people feel. It's about their sense of hope. It's about their motivation. It's about their commitment, particularly when they're working toward a goal or dealing with hardship. One thing I learned from one of the principals I served up the one time, he said, morale is a tricky thing. You're never going to make everybody happy. And see, you can be fighting I got to boost up the morale of this person. I got to massage this person and boost up their morale because I don't want the morale to get bad. But I began to realize that if I just stand, that's last Sunday, right? If I just stand on truth, your feelings don't matter because right is right. And either you're going to get right or you're going to get gone. I don't have to worry about the morale because when you have Christ, you're going to have hope. You're going to be enthusiastic. You're going to have confidence. You're going to have boldness. You're not going to have to try to make up fake confidence. Get all pretty and look in the mirror so that you can feel good about yourself knowing you broke on the inside. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We try to put band-aids on the real problems that we're facing to encourage ourselves. What God has said, just surrender. Give me that thing. Give me that thing. So these men went to the king. And the king agreed. He said, all right, do as you like. I can't stop you. Sixth verse. The officials took Jeremiah from his cell. Jeremiah was already in jail. They had already put him in jail because they were tired of this consistent message. They said they took him from his cell and they lowered him by ropes into an empty cistern in the prison yard. It belonged to a member of the royal family. And there was no water. It's like a well. They lowered him down into this well, and there was no water in this well. But there was a thick layer of mud at the bottom. And Jeremiah began to sink into it. He began to sink into the miry clay. And let me tell y'all, sometimes when you are trying to stand on truth, it's going to feel like you are sinking in the mud, that you can't get ahead while everybody else is living their life. You trying to be holy while they having fun. You trying to call out generational trauma while they still pretending that ain't nothing happened. They still holding on to family secrets. You trying to do right by your marriage when everybody and every podcast is telling you that ain't the way to do it. Jeremiah was already in jail, and now he's being placed in this well. He is sinking into the miry clay. His preaching got him in the miry clay. Obeying God got him in this situation. But some of us, we are in dirty situations because of bad choices. We're not sinking in the miry clay because we're standing on the word of God. We sinking in our sins. It's like the prodigal son. The prodigal son didn't end up in the pig pen because he was following God. He ended up in the pig pen because he was running with his pride. Because he said, Father, give me everything that's due me. I want to go out in the world and I want to run it up. I want to live it up. That's how he ended up in the pig pen. There is a difference. Every trial and every test that you go through is not because God is trying to shape you or God put you in that situation to grow you. That's what the world tell you. You don't have to go through bad to learn a lesson. That's why I ask you, do you read your Bible? You don't have to go through trauma to learn a lesson. Can God make it work out for your good in the end? Yes, because he's gracious, because he's loving. But you don't have to get ran through. to get used and abused in order to have a testimony. Just like the prodigal son, some of us are in these situations because we refuse to return home. At any point, which is what he eventually came to his senses and did, was, I'm going to go home. God has a way, and this is just, it's just, I love how the word puts it together. God has a way of pulling us out of our dirty situations, but it's a choice. He had to choose to return home. I got to choose to get out of this situation. All suffering ain't the same. There's universal suffering. We all going to go through something because we live in the fallen world. But then there's suffering because of disobedience. X happened because you did Y. And then there's the miry clay. It's the tests, it's the trials that you go through because you choose to stand on the Lord. Y'all, please understand. And I think that this gets a lot of people, this stops a lot of people from selling out, from going all in with Jesus. It's because they assume that when I obey the Lord, my life is going to turn around and the suffering is going to stop. The suffering is not going to stop. It's just going to, it's going to look different and it's going to feel different as you're going through it. But it's not going to stop. And that confuses a lot of people. It's like, what if I'm going to church, if I'm trying to do right, if I'm putting things in order, if I'm cutting stuff off, why am I still suffering? Why does it feel like I'm still sinking in the miry clay? And that's because you have resolved to think about God. You've resolved to talk about God. You call in our sin. You're trying to live set apart. You're not lying to yourself anymore about the reality of what life is like apart from God. You've made up in your mind that I'm going to do right. Well, let me tell you something. When you start trying to do right, people don't like it. Satan don't like it. The world don't like it when you start trying to do right. That's why you start to sink. And you can get all, y'all can try to get all theological with it and justify how you're not a finished product yet and God is still working on you and it's his grace that's carrying through. But a lot of times, those are just excuses because you're not ready to give up your sin yet. You ain't ready. The reason I told y'all that Jeremiah is sinking in life, understand that they took this man out of a regular prison cell and said, we're going to make your situation worse. The reason that I stress he had been preaching this same message for 40 years, because I need y'all to understand, when you start reading Jeremiah, it's like fire shut up in his bones. He can't keep quiet. He's young. He's like, God, I'm really like I'm scared, but I'm going to do this thing. By the time you get to the end of the book, he just say what he got to say. You don't see the emotion no more. You don't see the fire no more because he has suffered. He has suffered. He has stood for God. And I was like, whether you put me in a prison cell, whether you drop me in the well, in the miry clay, whether you kill me, right? I'm going to stand on the word of the Lord. I'm not moved by the emotion. Whether it's this king or that king, the message is going to remain the same. Whether it's Obama, whether it's Trump, whether it's Clinton, or whoever comes next, the message is going to remain the same. We have to make up our mind. If we want to be delivered, we have to surrender to the will of God. Paul says, I have learned to be content. I've learned to be content. We got to learn to be content with trusting in the Lord. And I'm getting ready to close after these verses. So by the time we get to the 17th verse, the word said, but Abed-Lamech, an Ethiopian, an important court official, heard that Jeremiah was in the cistern. And at that time, the king was holding court at the Benjamin Gate. So this man, this Ethiopian, rushed from the palace to speak with the king. He said, my lord, the king, he said, these men have done a very evil thing in putting Jeremiah the prophet into the cistern. He will soon die of hunger. For almost all the bread in the city is gone. Y'all don't know, when I read that, I said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed. God will have somebody looking out for you while you feel like you yet sinking in the miry clay. You will have somebody speaking out for you in front of the king, already preparing a way for your escape. So the king turns and says, take 30 men with you, and I will pull Jeremiah out before he dies. So Abed-Lamet took the men with him and went to a room in the palace beneath the treasury where he found some old rags and discarded clothing. He carried these to the cistern, lowered them to Jeremiah on a rope. He called down to Jeremiah. He said, put these rags under your armpits to protect you from the ropes. But watch this. When Jeremiah was ready, they pulled him out. Jeremiah had to get ready. He had to get ready. He had to make sure that the rope was secure. He had to get ready. It's the same thing with the prodigal son. The prodigal son had to make up his mind. God is in the saving business, but some of us, we have to make up my mind to be saved. Don't make me start. I go back to rapping now. That song say, don't save her. She don't want to be. You got to want to be saved. You got to want to be. Some of y'all ain't know that song. You got to want to be. You got to want to be. They pulled him out. And but the thing, y'all, when they pulled him out, they say, so Jeremiah was returned to the courtyard of the guard of the palace prison where he remained. They pulled him out to miry clay only to put him back in the cell again. Come on now. They pulled him out to miry clay only to put him back in the cell. Here is the message. God is faithful to rescue me from the miry clay, and eventually he's going to rescue me from this earthly prison. He's faithful to rescue you from the financial muck and mud that you in, from the relationship stuff you in, from the family trauma you in, right? But when he rescues you from that, that doesn't mean the suffering's going to stop. We still got to be prepared to go somewhere else. Where there's no more weeping, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
That's why you got to read your word, because this helps you understand the character of God. You won't get disappointed when you realize that even because God rescues me in 2025 and February, that doesn't mean I'm good for the rest of 2025. There's another test that's going to come. There's another trial that's going to come. But I'm going to look to the hills. From whence comes my help? I don't have to get all discombobulated every time something happens with my child.
Amen.
I don't have to lose my faith every time the money starts looking funny.
Yes, yes, yes.
I know that God is going to rescue me from the miry clay.
Amen.
And whatever test that comes next, eventually he's going to return and he's going to pull me from that too. And there is going to be a time when I can rest. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? I don't care if everything good is going in your life. Please understand that this right here is a temporary vessel. This thing is going to fade away. This is going like, right? It's going to fade away. Who can rescue us? It's like we living to die. Who can rescue us? Jesus came. Jeremiah got rescued from the miry clay. You can get ready. Jeremiah got rescued from the miry clay, and his message didn't change. He got out the miry clay. The king said, what does the Lord say? Jeremiah hit him with the message again. The king said, well, I'm afraid if I surrender that I'm going to be in trouble with the people. Jeremiah replied in the 20th verse, you won't be handed over to them if you choose to obey the Lord. Y'all understand, scripture is consistent. When the death angel was passing over during Exodus, if the blood of the lamb was applied to the door while the death angel was going forth, that thing does not touch my house. That thing passes over me. If we would just choose to obey the Lord, no matter what comes our way, will pass over us.
Amen.
Your life will be spared and all will go well for you.
Yes.
But if you refuse to surrender,
yeah.
This is what the Lord has revealed unto me. I love how the Lord does this. This is what the Lord has revealed unto me. All the women left in your palace will be brought out and given to the officers of the Babylonian army. Then the women will taunt you, saying, what fine friends you have. They have betrayed and misled you when your feet sank in the mud. Come on now. When your feet sank in the mud, they left you to your fate. If you refuse to surrender, ain't nobody coming to rescue you. You got to say, Lord, no matter what situation I'm in, the message will not change. I surrender to you. And God will be faithful to pull you out of that thing. But if your heart is saying, I refuse to obey, listening to your friends, listening to the advice of people that don't have a relationship with the Lord, when you get stuck, ain't nobody coming. Ain't nobody coming. If you purposely choose to sin and disobey, nobody is coming to get you out of the mud. I don't know where my wife learned I got it out the mud, but she's been saying that for the past month. Talking about she got it out the mud. She got it out the mud. But when we think about scripture, amen. When we think about scripture, that is what God is faithful to do. Like, he's the one that gets it out of the mud. He will pull you. He will pull you out of the miry clay. As much as salvation is mysterious and miraculous, there is still a choice that has to be made, which is to follow Christ. When God offers you a lifeline, when God lowers the ropes, and it might look like some rags, that's what they lowered. It might look like some dirty bed sheets, a jump rope, whatever it is, but when God lowers the lifeline, take it. Take it. Don't stay stuck where you are. Take it. Amen. Amen. Y'all come on in the Lord and praise.